Great article in the Irish Times today by Sarah Slater, and she's bemoaning the dwindling numbers of cobblers in the country. There are only 28 cobblers left in the 26 counties, and 10 of those are in Dublin, which means that in a lot of counties in Ireland, there are no cobblers. Well, there is one in Kilkenny. Michael Rossiter from Rossiter Shoe Repairs and is on the line now from Kilkenny City. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Ray. How are you doing?
The full name of the business is Rossiter Shoe Repairs and Pedorthics.
That's correct, yes.
Pedorthics, right. We'll talk about that in a moment. So was it always going to be that you were going to be a cobbler, Michael?
Never.
No.
Never. Go back 50 years, Ray, when I'm in behind my dad's counter in Tullow in Carlow, and the amount of people I would say to you, sure, at least, Matty, you'll have someone to take over the business. And I'd look over my shoulder, being the quiet fellow I was back then, and say, in your blarney, man, I'm not. And it's funny, that was at 8 years of age. At 16, the same reply went to the customers. And then during the summer holidays was the same reply. And look, here I am 50 years later and I'm repairing shoes for a living.
Yeah. So Matty was your dad?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
And was he the first generation or was his dad a cobbler as well?
No, he was actually first generation. He was an understudy to a man by the name of James Kavanagh back Fado.
Right.
And James took him as an apprentice. And when Jimmy died, Dad stepped in and,
Yeah.
So back then, and there wasn't enough. Like, I'm in Kilkenny 37 or 8 years. Back then, there wasn't enough for two people because I says, look, if I'm going to be working, I need an opportunity to do it somewhere else where we're not in competition and I can earn a living. And through a word of a friend, I got a place in Kilkenny and c'est la vie. The rest is history.
Well, excuse the intended pun, but you needed more footfall, didn't you?
Yes, you did. No, in fairness, Ray. No, you're dead right. Yeah, you needed footfall and, you needed the city and the collection and the amount of people that would, I suppose, navigate into the cities to kind of make a decent
What's the population of Tullow, Michael?
Tullow back in my day was around 2,000 people.
Right. So Kildare Town, Kildare Town was about 6,000 and we had two cobblers in Kildare Town.
Yes.
So I'm just thinking it's about one cobbler for every 3,000 people, I suppose, back in the day.
Well, my dad, if he was still alive, he could tell you stories of when he was doing his time with Jim Kavanagh, there was 12 in Tullow.
Wow. 12 cobblers?
12. Yes, in Tullow, right?
Yeah.
In my day, when I was in short pants behind his counter, there was two of us. Dad was one and there was another man down at the bottom of the street. And everyone kind of cohabitated and all the rest and got on fine. And then that other gentleman died and then Dad had everything for sure.
God. Yeah.
You know, it was just, I remember a word he used, I always say, runners will be the death of all those young people, he says.
Well, here's the thing. I remember this as plain as day and they're probably back in vogue now. I had a pair of gold suede runners back in the day and we didn't have a lot of money. So I got them resold. The man, I think it was O'Mahony was his name, he put a black sole on it, which looked ridiculous, but I was just happy to be able to wear my gold runners.
It's terrible, isn't it? Yeah.
And would you resole runners now?
I would. Yeah. I would. Yeah, definitely. And an awful lot of those, they're similar to Golas, Ray, to be honest with you. They're similar. We're doing those because what's actually happening is people are coming in and saying, Michael, those are so slippy, what can you do about them? Isn't it sad?
Yeah.
You pay out 100 quid for a pair of runners and they're so slippy and you have to get a pair of soles on them. I'm doing a pair tomorrow morning, having lined up and all. But yes, you would. Yeah, if we can get the materials, we'll do it. And that's not me saying it. That's everyone else that's in my trade. If we can get the proper units that will match with it, and it won't be black, I assure you, it could be purple, anything, any colour you wish, right? We can put those on. Yeah, that's not a problem.
So what you buy in now are sort of pre-made soles and you just fine-tune them, if you like.
In some cases, you have to, Ray. Yeah. Like, if you can remember, have you any hiking boots, have you? Have you a hiking boot?
I have, yeah.
Okay, so that particular sole on that would be a pre-made product.
Right.
So we would have to source that in the proper blah, 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 size and width and whatever, right, and order that in. and then it's applied, the old one is taken off and the new one is applied. But that's only in kind of those mountaineering boots and things like that. Yeah. The majority of other stuff, you kind of, you have, let's say, an inventory of material of all colours, all thicknesses, all shapes and sizes and textures, densities and all that, and you apply what you think is
okay,
the best.
So what you're saying really, yeah, by way of an ad is, you'll have a go at anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now,
talk to me. My name is Michael Chancer Rossiter.
No, it's not. But here's the thing. You were there at 8, behind the counter in Tullow, watching your dad do what he was doing. And obviously, by osmosis, you're soaking it all up.
Absolutely.
So you are a cobbler, but there's no official trade or training.
No. I tell you, I got away from cobbling, let's say, when I was in the early 20s. It was time to leave the home place and all the rest. And I went into bar work. Right. I ended up in a pretty good pint house place up not a million miles from you in Nace, right?
Yeah.
I was sharing digs with a couple of guys that were doing apprenticeships in Tutties.
Ah, yes.
Right?
They're shoemakers. Right? That's the thing.
They were shoemakers, but yeah, they were doing apprenticeships in cobbling in Tutties. Now, this is a long time ago. And I remember having dinner in the B&B, or was kind of digs, kind of the landlady used to service the food and all the rest. But and I remember him telling me, in 6 weeks, I'll be a fully fledged cobbler, right? Because
yeah,
that was the length of the course. Yeah. And I kind of looked to heaven. I said, well, I'm 21 or two, or no, I was about 19. And I said, yeah, I'm telling you, I've been at this, my dad has been at this all my life, and I still don't know at all, right?
Yeah.
But that was under the sea, Anko.
Anko, yes.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Back in the day, yeah.
That's
who kind of organised all that. I don't know how many of those fellas are left, if any, to be honest with you, but there's no way you could soak, you know, even if you were
in a massive sponge,
you couldn't soak all that. No, there's too much
least,
to do.
At least
there's
there was
to get through.
There was some sort of a course. There's no
there
course
was,
now, is there?
There was. No.
Come no.
No, nothing, which is a shocking shame, you know. And things that's there to be learned is to be learned off of fellas like me, and like we're not going to be around forever.
And have you got the third generation of Rossiters standing by in short trousers? No,
I'm afraid not, Ray.
No.
I have two boys. One has his own career; he's an electrician through the apprenticeship.
Yeah.
Line, right? Like the way it should be. And my other son, no, he's not into that. And you can actually tell when a young lad is able for it. You know, you have to have it in the hands. And I'm sure the same, let's say a carpenter could say the same when he sees a young lad and sees him working with a piece of timber. No, he's not going to make it. And it's the same with cobbling. You have to be fully coordinated and you're thinking outside the box. And it's not as easy as kind of...
Things have changed over the last 5 years because people are giving out about fast fashion. They're talking about the circular economy. They're talking about getting longer out of items of clothing, including shoes.
Yeah.
Is that all good news for you?
It is if the shoes are any good, Ray.
Right.
what the story is it's like the Mars bar, the inflation.
Yeah.
The shoes are made, and they're made as cheap as possible. They're commanding top price, and what they're made from is poor.
Okay.
Right? So if you somebody that goes in, right, and buys a pair of shoes on the high street for, let's say, 50, 60, 70. I climbed down here this morning at 7 o'clock into work, and I'm passing shoe shops, and they're selling gent shoes for 30 quid.
Mm.
Right? Now, there's more leather in the arse of my pants than there is in those shoes. Right? So that shoe is going to come into me. They're buying it for 30 quid, right?
Yeah.
That shoe is going to come into me for a pair of soles that's going to exceed 30 quid. And the person's going to look at me and say, are you for real, Mike?
Yes, I didn't pay that for the shoe.
Yeah. I paid less of that. And I says, well, what you got to do, Ray, is you have to do what you think is best. But do you think they're worth it, Michael? No, not really, Ray. You know, this has gone here, this has gone here. And you're talking yourself over a job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And what about unclaimed shoes then, Michael?
don't go there.
How many pairs would you have?
I'd have several. I hold on to them for a year and a day, Ray.
And the charity shops
love to see me coming with black bags because they're all fully repaired, polished up, and you just give them on to people, you know, and they make two or three quid on them or whatever they make.
It's not looking good for the future of your trade, Michael Rossiter. 28 left in the country, 10 of those in Dublin, and your two sons aren't taking up the baton of cobbling. So what do you think the future holds?
It's very grim, Ray.
Mm.
It's very grim. And I'm not going to be here all my life. I'll be gone.
Okay.
This will be a dark hole. And I suppose an awful lot of fellas will tell you the exact same. You know what I mean? There's no one coming on. There's one supplier. Yeah, sorry, on, I have no, one supplier on. And he comes from Cork. One supplier, I get a few bits off of him in Cork. And in September, he lost three. Right?
Yeah.
He lost three accounts in September.
Yeah, because they had to close down. Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, yeah. Michael, whenever I get that smell, I don't know if it was the leather or the rubber or the glue or the beeswax or whatever, but it transports me right back to my childhood. Because going into one of those two cobblers in Kildare, a wonderful smell. You're in the thick of it there. Unfortunately, we can't share it with our listeners. But
tell you a funny story, right? When my dad died, right, we all kind of took his machinery and, you know, memorabilia and all like that. And my brother took a case that holds ammo. Do you know those metal cases that have ammos and the clothes on the top?
Yeah.
You know, because your dad was in the army.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. I know them. Yeah.
An ammo box, I call it, right? Yeah. Dermot took that box, right? And anytime we're down in his house, we said, where's the box? And you open the box and you get the exact same smell as dad's shop. It's absolutely phenomenal. And all those years come back. It's amazing.
That is amazing.
And it's a different smell.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a different smell than it is to my smell. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
Michael.
You could sell that.
Lovely talking to you. Likewise, shoes to be mended. Mind yourself. See you. Bye.
Absolutely. Bye. Take care, lad. Bye.